So I started to ask myself after Russell asked me to fill in this morning, the third string quarterback, however you want to do it. Dan was actually in Branson. Dan's actually sick, so keep Dan and Julie in your prayers. They had a long week in Branson. I was thinking about asking Russell what his favorite verse was, but since it's, you know, Genesis to Revelation, I didn't think y'all would be here for the next 7-8 hours as we read Scripture. So anyway, it's so good to be with you in God's house this morning. The title of the sermon, this is what I was going to preach on back in January when we were snowed out, don't be sharp, don't be flat, be joyful. So we have a music theme going with the sermon this morning. A woman bought her daughter a baby grand piano. Just absolutely wanted her daughter to have the best and the greatest. A few weeks later, one of her friends asked her how her daughter was doing. She goes, oh, I bought her a clarinet. How come? Well, with the clarinet, she can't sing. So anyway, I know it comes to the issue of singing and worship, there's usually two types of people. There's people who just love to sing and they'll sing all day. Go to a Gaither concert for 3 or 4 hours, get amen. And then there are others who just rather you gave them a clarinet. I've been there. I don't pick favorites. I never really have, but one of my favorite people of all time was in Versailles. We were newly married in Jeff City. We were driving 50 miles back and forth, helping with the youth and doing the music. And there was a man that would sing in the choir. I had two ladies in the church came up to me and basically said, oh, you're going to be our salvation. And I said, no, wait a minute, we're getting off on the wrong foot here. I'm just the music and youth guy. Oh, no. Maybe you can persuade Brother Ed to leave the choir. So I knew immediately I had my work cut out for me. Because here's the ladies whose buns were so tight, their mouth was drawn back, and it wasn't a real smile, but Ed would come in, and Ed would sing a half a step off key. Ed was a natural bass. And fixing it, nope, did not work for him. The teeth were moving. But that man had a smile on his face and a song in his heart every single Sunday. Why would I want to get rid of somebody? Well, he sounds horrible. He sings off key. Well, guess what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'd rather have somebody smiling and in love with the Lord than a bunch of persimmons, to be honest with you, no matter how great they sound. God commands his people to sing and make music. I know I've asked a few of you over the years, some of you are like, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. One person told me he'd sing tenor. I thought, oh, that's great. Yeah, 10 or 15 miles away. Okay. And, you know, there's several other cliches there. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we find one of the ways we prepare our heart for God through the spirit of him speaking to us is that we speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord. How we address one another. Could you imagine the conversations if I came up and said, oh, Larry, how was your week? Not exactly a spiritual hymn, song, or song, but the point of it is God wants us to think about worship. God wants us to think about why we were created in his image. Next time you look at somebody and you think, oh, that person's not attractive. Of course, he's standing up here right now, but think to yourself, we are created in the image of God. God does not make any junk. God's always wanted his people to sing it. In Psalms 32:11, it actually goes on to say, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. When we sing, how many times have you been in church and you really just didn't want to sing? And all you see is somebody with a smiling, happy face, and if you had your chance, you'd slap them. Been there, done that. It's usually me in the mirror sometimes. But Psalms 105, 1 through 4, I love these verses. It says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell about his wondrous works. Boast in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face always. Guys, there's days that we're going to have tough days. There's days that we're going to have wonderful days. But remembering to, number one, thank the Lord. That's one of the reasons I really wanted that song sung. And thank you, Kathy, for singing that this morning. Yeah. Sherry reached out to her, and I asked, I love that song. It's from the Gettys. And I love modern-day hymn writers. I love the old hymns, don't get me wrong. But we've kind of fallen in love a little bit in our praise team with this group, City of Light. We've sung our songs out here in the service before. And you guys are probably wondering, where did that hymn come from? Well, it was written by a group of people who still believe in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. That we communicate that way with each other. And most importantly, to glorify God. Psalm 149:1-5. If you don't think you could sing, hallelujah, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel celebrate its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. I'm sorry, it's Baptist, but it's in the Bible. And make music to him with the tambourine and the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the faithful celebrate in triumphal glory. Let them shout for joy on their beds. You know, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, somebody says. Let everything in his breath praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. We'll talk about more of that here in a minute. Why should we sing? God wants his people to sing. So from these passages, these are the following main three things I got. Why should we sing? We should sing for joy. You may not think what you have is a lot. You may think that what you have is, oh, wow, I've got a little more than this person. I've got a little less than this person. Guess what? When we're in heaven someday on the streets of glory, we don't going to care about that at all. When you see faces of people and you're like, oh, wow, I knew my grandma and grandpa would be there. And you turn around and you see that guy who bullied you in school. And you're like, how'd you end up here? Wait, this is heaven, right? You know? We sing for joy. We sing his praises. We don't sing our praises. We don't need a Bass Chapel Baptist song. We can sing Onward Christian Soldiers if you want to go back to the Bible school I grew up in. That's with right. The Kool-Aid that was watered down and the sugar cookies that used to be about the size of a pie plate that now over time seem to be getting smaller. And we sing to rejoice in the blessings that God has given us. In all things rejoice. You have good things in your life. We take those good things for granted every single day. From your health, to your family, to your friends. Oh, great. Tomorrow's Monday. I want to tell you, up and down is like a yo-yo. But we've got to take the good with the bad. We've got to remember to praise his name. We've got to remember to thank him for what we have. We sing, we sing, we sing. We sing because we serve a God who makes us joyful. If you're bound, if you know somebody, if you were there and now you know other people that are bound for hell, there's no joy. There's no hope. Share to them the joy of your salvation. Restore to them the joy of your salvation. Show them who you are, but more importantly, show him through you. You know, my grandmother had nothing, but she had everything. Plain little house on Jefferson Avenue here in Springfield. Robert married Roberta. I think I shared it before, but I always share it. But I love the story. I would always wake up on this itchy, scratchy, yellow couch. People that are into mid-century modern, grandma and grandpa had it. So, but I'm sure they got it from a sale somewhere. My grandma, we would never leave that house without them giving us something that she had found or that she had in her basement. And the Folgers would wake me up 4:30, 5 o'clock. My brother's in a coma on the little cot. Grandpa would eventually wake him up by dumping the cot after 3 warnings, which was fun. But I'll never forget the day that I would walk in the kitchen and I would not find my grandma. And I'm looking and I thought maybe she went to the garden early. And I'm like, well, it's a little dark still outside. Then all of a sudden, real quietly, I hear somebody talking. Grandma had these louvered doors. When we were older, we get to sleep in the really good bed up front. She would do this, clickety-clackety, clickety-clackety. And that was Grandma's alarm clock to start waking you up if you didn't know it was time for you to wake up in the big down bed that we were in. But I could hear her, and I opened the door real slowly, and I could see Grandpa's feet still under the covers. Grandpa had to be at work usually between 7:30 and 8. The Wessels, he was in the service department. And my grandma was at the end of the bed on her knees praying. And I heard different things. I heard names of people I didn't know, and then I heard my parents' names, and then I heard my brother and I. Then I heard her pray for the future of our family. And I'm sitting there thinking, this lady who grew up, you know, not having much, but the love of God through her and through Grandpa, the joy of the Lord, she had it all. And so it was a blessing to grow up and see that when I was able to go stay with them. Everybody knows about David, right? David in the Bible. David, a man after God's own heart. He grew up to be the king of Israel. He could play the harp. He rejoiced. We hear that again and again. He cemented his relationship to God through singing and playing music. Singing was the way he declared his love of God. He sang because he had a song. A gentleman named Donald Holstead once wrote, somehow about 40% of churchgoers seem to have picked up the idea that singing in church is for singers. The truth is that singing is for believers. The relevant question is not, do you have a voice, but more importantly, do you have a song, or do you have a story? One person put it this way, be more like a child today, for children sing whether they sound good or not, whereas one little three-year-old girl sang, I love you, Lord, and I lift my noise. Psalms 101 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Joyful noise. And I can hear, even sitting over here playing, I can hear people. My ears, after being in music all the years I have been, I can hear. And you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to stop playing and turn around and go, who is that? You're singing. If you don't know, my dad taught me at a very young age not to depend on the music, but to depend on the message of the song. And if the message of the song or the words of the song don't agree with what God says, then that's not a song for me. Whether or not I like the music. But it's the message. What am I trying to convey when we sing this? Most of our songs, the very thing this morning, were about joy. I gave her the list of the verses, and she did a wonderful job of picking out the music that went along with joy and thankfulness. And that's what we are to be thankful for. God doesn't say, if you can sing, sing. God says, sing your joy. So if you don't think you can sing, Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, if you're not breathing in here, folks, I'm sorry. Try, please. Don't scare us. You know, God loves it when we sing to him, because when we sing, we're praising him for how much joy he's given us. There's another reason we should sing. Music changes and transforms us. Singing isn't a declaration of our joy. It's the power to make us joyful. On a spiritual level, songs can do more than even that, because Christian music has words, and those words focus on God's power and love. It's one of the reasons that Paul tells the church at Ephesus to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19. Focus on the words of those songs, because the words we sing lift us up. They don't drag us down. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. In the garden, which we will sing on Palm Sunday morning, because I'll sing it anytime we want to sing it. I love the song. But think about what happened in the garden. We forget about the garden. Oh, the disciples couldn't stay awake. Yeah, exactly. But Jesus actually prayed, it's not my will, but your will. If it's your will, take this cup from me. What he's saying is, take the cross away. Take all of this away. But it's not my will. It is my Father's will. We forget the struggle in the garden. We forget that the people that Jesus depended on the most were asleep. And out of the 12, there were 3. And they couldn't stay awake either. So, if you listen to popular music, you'll find a number of songs that talk about hopelessness, immorality, anger, rage, selflessness, and self-centeredness. a joke I heard a while back is if you play a country song backwards, he gets his truck back, his wife back, his dog back. We had a minister years ago, and I don't know who, at the little church in Rich Hill that we were at, was convinced to bring this guy in. This was an angry little man who was trying to put a record player on the pulpit and play this rock music backward. I know there's a way to it, or another thing. There's a comic that I have at home, and I absolutely adore it. And it's got this guy, and the little penguin plays electric tuba, so I play tuba, so you know, it's kind of weird. But anyway, they appeared in front of Congress in this cartoon, and they played their music backwards, and the lady up there was just, I know it's going to be evil, and all of a sudden they hear the words, tithe, tithe, go to church, pray, when the song was played backwards. So anyway, I just thought that was funny, because this little man was so angry, he was trying to play the music back, and we were trying to listen to what it was, but he was telling us it's evil. We shouldn't have to be told what's evil. If it doesn't glorify God, it is evil.
That's
right. Amen?
That's right.
That's exactly what it is. If the music does not lift up our Lord, if the music goes against the teachings of God, then guess what? It's not of the Lord. And it doesn't glorify Him. The University of Pittsburgh did a study a few years ago that examined 279 of the top songs on the radio. They only looked at references to drugs, alcohol, but what they found is instructive. Gangster rap, 80% of the songs. Country music, 37%, praising the wonders of alcohol. Rhythm and blues, 20%. Rock, 14%. Pop music had 7%. And that's just a reference praising drugs and alcohol. They didn't even look at the other stuff because they knew how bad it was going to be. We look back at the day and age that Elvis and then the Beatles broke and changed a lot of things for a lot of people. And the popular music at that time, I'll be honest with you, I would have loved to have been alive and seen what my grandpa, the pastor, my mom's dad, would have thought about it. And I can get it, because I saw what was the 40s and 50s were like. 40s and 50s, we were closer to God as a nation because of the people at the time and going through the war and going through everything else. But what happens is there's a little give, and there's a little give, and there's a little give. And as we've gone from the 60s all the way up to today, when you look at a thing like Spotify, and you do a search for something, and if you have your preset settings to not allow any explicit music, you can still see it, but it's grayed out. You can't do it. When I search for a song, and I see 40 songs, and 25 of them are explicit, we got a problem. There's no glorifying God in that. We don't have to use those words. The anger, I get it, express the anger. Well, okay, there's other ways to do that. But where's the joy? Where's the love? What should we sing? Again, three types of songs. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I want to focus on the other reasons of singing this morning. It occurred to me as I was looking into this that there's two other kinds of songs people sing. There'll be 6 points to this. I'm not going to keep you all here all afternoon, I promise. Check. I'm okay, we're good. First thing, why should we sing? Because when we sing, we obey. Singing isn't an option in Scripture, it's a command. Colossians 3:16 states, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to the Lord in gratitude in your hearts. You're not sure what gratitude is? That's thankfulness. Thank people. Make it a practice. Make it a habit. Even if you don't like that person, thank them. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming to Bass Chapel. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing this time with the Lord with me. We may need to have trouble with people not breathing at that point. They may fall over. You know. But Psalms 5:18-19 goes on to say, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart. God's people are just more than invited to sing. We're commanded to sing. When we're singing, we're doing what God asks of us. When you sing, you build up others. And so that's that second point, is when you build up other believers when you sing. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We see the same thing in Colossians 3, chapter 13-16. The exhortation to sing puts on the heels of bearing with one another. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone's got a grievance against you, so the Lord has forgiven you, so you can forgive. One point. verse 14. It says, above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, togetherness. 15, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. 16 goes on to say, through hymns, psalms, spiritual songs, singing to the Lord. You know, what do we do when the Bible says, singing together as a church family, we're hearing confessions of faith all around? Think about the words that you're singing. We're hearing hundreds join with us in singing, Christ alone, my hope is found. We're hearing hundreds of testimonies of faith. You know, the most difficult thing for me is somebody out here singing who doesn't know the Lord. And I'm not saying it's wrong if they sing or don't sing. But they cannot believe what they're singing if they don't trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, period. They don't get it. They don't know it. As you know, as we sing, we're helping the unbelievers. Psalms 105, 1 and 2. The Lord is calling the Israelites to be a light unto the nation to do this. He says, sing to him, sing his praises, tell of his wondrous works. You're singing a testimony. If there's somebody here that's not, doesn't know Jesus, they're hearing you sing that. You imagine if we walked around all day at work or at the grocery store or wherever you may be and you're singing constantly. After the interrogation to make sure your nut's still intact, you know, with your head and everything, just, no. They're going to see you as a joyful person. Some people are not going to like that. But you know, there's another thing when we sing, we make war. Don't think about that concept. Ephesians 5:16, it basically says to dress one another in song, because the heels, right on the heels of the best use of time because these days are evil back in chapter 15. You didn't connect singing and warfare together, but it's a theme visible in Scripture. In Colossians 3, Paul's challenging the Colossians literally to put sin to death in their lives, to kill sin. So the commands to love and peace and forgiveness and teaching are habits of the believer that will kill sin. The more you think about this, it makes sense. What posture must be more hated by the evil one than the posture of a believer who's singing? Can you imagine? Satan, you know, people trying to mess with you. As Russell says, we can't be possessed, but we can be, you know, messed with. The devil can do that. But think about you in the eyes of other Christians as singing and believing what you're singing. It's very hard to lie, be greedy, or look at someone appropriate when you're singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. Simply a heart that's doing that will not easily give into temptation. A singing heart is a heart at war with the work of the evil one and the power of sin. We're marching to Zion, onward Christian soldiers. You know, when I was little and we sang that in Bible school, I was like, I get it. I didn't even know where it was or what I was singing, but I was happy to sing it. And then the day that I came to Christ in April of 1977, date me to some of you folks, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I did not have Christ at that point. And after that, I really started listening, and my dad was encouraging me, look at the words, listen to the words. Because you're not just standing up there, and you're not just singing the song. You know, knowing that my mom was praying for me, and my mom was working so hard, and having parents that were making sure I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, not that they're forcing me to do these things. I grew up in a unique situation where I had a group of friends in high school, both believers and non-believers, in Nevada, and 20 minutes north was Rich Hill. And so I went from a good-sized town of 8,000, 9,000 people to a farming community and had another set of friends there through church. You know, I didn't really wish that with our kids. Marlon and I talked about that years ago. And here we ended up on the west side of Springfield for almost 20 years, I guess, a couple of churches. And they grew up with their friends in Stratford, and they grew up with another set of friends. If we had not followed God's will there, our youngest son wouldn't be marrying the girl he met through church 2 weeks from tomorrow. God's blessed him. God's blessed both of them. And it's serving and it's following and doing what he said. It hasn't been an easy road, but it's knowing who's first and who's perfect. I'll be honest with you. I try to do what my grandpa does. My grandpa always told me, you wake up, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you say, I love the job that I'm doing. You know, start out the day on a positive note. For years, I would see him reach up towards this little planter on the back porch, and I finally asked him what he was doing. He goes, that's all the bad stuff that happened at work today. I'm not taking that into Grandma. I don't need to be bringing that in. I got to remember that more. I'm guilty of that. We need to talk each other down. Bad day, bad day. Come to the good. And stop and be thankful more. I need to follow that. When you sing, you're spiritually strengthened for trials that you may be going through. Oftentimes we think only of singing when we're happy. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. There you go. There's a good one to remember. Paul and John, you remember Acts 16, Paul and Silas. They were in jail. These guys were so sad, right? They were beating their heads against the walls and chained up and like, my God has left me. That's the story. You remember that? Am I telling that right? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the jail were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains came loose. In fact, he goes on to say that the jailer almost took his own life until they were able to say, whoa, 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 hold on, hold on, hold on. And they were able to witness to him and witness to his whole family, but the power of singing freed them. So if you're struggling with something difficult today, think about a very positive, happy song, great scripture, and just say that. First of all, thank God that you have the ability to do so. Thank God that he saved you. Thank God that he stood in the gap for you and put his son on the cross and said, no more. I want a chance for them to come back to me. All of these sacrifices, all of these things. You know, the Old Testament is like the greatest tennis match in history. I want a king. They gave him a king. And so what is it after that point? Good king, bad king. Good king, bad, bad. Good king, right back and forth. Because the people thought they knew better than a holy God. Moses disappears upon the mountain. He's gone for 37 seconds. I'm exaggerating, not true. But the first thing they do is, oh my gosh. And they see the lightning and thunder on the mountain. We need to get our gold. We need to make a statue. God, who? What did God do for us? Oh, man, I forget. You were in slavery, and he set you free.
That's right.
By sending Moses, who really didn't want to talk, had to send a helper for Moses to talk. Moses is like, I'm not worthy. But God worked through him, worked through that staff, and freed the people, and all they complain about is, oh, well, we got manna from heaven again today. Well, he's going to hit the rock and water's going to come out. Ooh, nice trip. We've seen it for the last 20 days. How could we ever get to that point when the power of God is there? And as a nation now, we look around and we're like, where is the power of God? Power of God is in us. Power of God can work through us. Not to change things the way that our country is going. Of course that is. And Pastor Russell preached about 2 Chronicles 7:14. Yes, absolutely. He will listen to us when we pray. But like as he mentioned a couple weeks back, where does revival start? Draw a circle around yourself on the ground, and that's where it starts with you. And then your family, and then your friends, etc. Can you imagine that jailer and what he went through that night? Truth is confirmed in the lives of the persecuted believers throughout history. Hear the words of one pastor recently in prison for his faith. While we were in prison, we sang almost every day because Christ was alive in us. They put chains on our hands and feet. They chained us to add to our grief. Yet we discovered that chains are splendid musical instruments. We clang them together. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Clink, clink. That's at persecution.org, persecution.com. That is the voice of martyrs. That story is there. Our persecuted brothers are showing us that the truth we see in Acts 16 is still here today. Singing strengthens you and helps you persevere in the face of trial. Even in suffering, sing. And now we're 5, which means we're almost done. When you sing, you walk a God-designed pathway to joy. Psalms 5:11, through 4 verses. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them shout for joy forever. May you shelter them. Psalms 9:2. I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name most high. Psalm 51:14, deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud in your righteousness. And finally, Psalm 59:16, that I will sing of your strength and will joyfully proclaim your faithful love in the morning. For you have been a stronghold for me, a refuge in my day of trouble. If you don't believe me, here's a clincher from James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Suffering? Pray. Happy? Sing. So tryouts for the praise team right after the morning service. Each of you. As you study the scripture at this point, you'll notice that sometimes singing gives birth to joy, and sometimes joy gives birth to singing. It works both ways. But persistently in scripture, joy and singing are bound together. If you struggle for joy, sing. If you're a joyful, sing. In God's perfect design, sing. And finally, when you sing, you glorify God. True obedience, deep roots of the word, building up others, making war against Satan, sin, persevering, finding joy in God. All of these things bring glory to God, which should be our chief goal and purpose. Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 bring this out simply and powerfully by telling us to sing to God and to the Lord because he's the object of our praise. Again, Ephesians 5:19, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing is such a unique way of bringing your heart, soul, and mind and strength together and focus entirely on God. You know, in Revelation 7, 9 and 10, and we don't have the verses up there, John gives us a glimpse of eternity with a great multitude from every tribe, people, and language, singing before the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Eternity awaits. On that day, will you be one of the great multitude that no one can number, singing the song of the Lamb, singing his praises? I hope you'll be there singing the song of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that throne? Can you imagine singing? How you sound here is not how you're going to sound there. Because you were made in the image of God. And when you're in God's presence, you're going to sing. You don't think you can sing now? Yeah, you can. There's not a single person in this room, except maybe a few who overindulge a little music. Just kidding, I'm picking on Sherry and I. No, I'm that way. I get talking too much sometimes, my voice goes. One thing I want to mention just really briefly, what do they sing? They sang old favorites, just like we do today. What about the people of the Jewish faith? They sang it over and over again. Psalms 120, the first words before that song are a song of ascents. The next Psalm 121 says were the first words, again and again and again. This is a song of degrees on ascents. The 15 songs were sung every year by the Jews as they went up to worship. They were sung during pilgrimages to Jerusalem at the times of great yearly festivals as they ascended to Jerusalem. Every year they'd sing those same psalms over and over again, and every year as they'd hear them, they'd know it was time to make their pilgrimage. It's like Christmas. When you go to the shopping mall around the end of February and you see them setting up for Christmas, well, there might be another holiday in between there, I get that wrong. But you hear the songs. We know what Christmas songs are. And if you guys come on a Wednesday night when we have a hymn sing and the kids are up here, they're going to throw a couple of Christmas songs at us. And guess what? We'll sing them. I don't care. I loved that when I was growing up. We would do that. And I thought it was more stump my dad and I try to find something that we'd never sung before. And he would just belt it out like he'd sung it 100 times. I bet he'd never heard it. That man had a gift for music. And my mom could sing. I really need to hear my mom sing more. So people of Israel love to sing old favorites. What's some of your favorites? Sweet Hour of Prayer. We did that not too long ago. It is well with my soul. When the roll is called up yonder, God wants us to sing a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song, Psalms 96:1 says. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalms 33:3 says, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully, shout for joy. There's other verses. David even said, God put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Why should we learn new songs? Because we're human. And a lot of times, we're singing Amazing Grace again. I actually heard a person say that in a church service. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I said, do you have any idea what John Newton went through who wrote that song? take a second and look at the stories behind some of our hymns, and they'll blow your mind. Why are we singing this? Where did it come from? There are some very old songs that are in some of the hymnals that in their day were drinking songs. Dun, 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 you know, the mug in the hand type thing. Yeah, because that was the music of the times. I had a poem. It went well with that song. Early parodies, I guess, if you want to say that. But new songs make us think about the words sometimes. I don't think we should sing new songs all the time. I know there's some Sundays we seem like we sing more of them, but you got to learn them at some point in time. And that's kind of why the City of Light and the group of people, the Gettys and the others who write modern day hymns, they're easy to sing. In fact, I love it. The people at City of Light, this is a group of 20 to 50 somethings that come up and play. No one gets paid. If you play an instrument, you play. And the stage was full of these people and some of the videos and stuff that are amazing. But what is so cool about the songs is it's basically scripture. Some of the words. I found a song called Jerusalem we're going to sing on Sunday morning. It will be New Year. It'll be on Easter. I'm telling you, when I first heard that, I had to sit back and I had to watch it again and I had to watch it again. And I made sure I had the lyrics. I'm like, did they just say what they said about Jesus? And not in a bad way, but they put it in such a way that it is new to me. But it reminds me of my salvation. It reminds me of what he went through for me. That's what any song should be doing to us. You know, we say old songs, we say new songs. Guess what, guys? Stop. I've said that on purpose. If they're praising God, they're God's songs. But they're new old. I could pull an old song out of a hymnal. In fact, I could go back in that room. I've got one of the older books here. I could pull something out of the 1920s. I've got hymnals at home that go back to just right after the Civil War. I've collected hymns over the years. Guys, I could pull songs out of there. I don't know that. Fake British accent, sorry. And guess what? I don't know it either. But it was important to them at that time. So, but it glorifies God. You know, one of the things I enjoy about this church is that we love the old favorites. Sherry came up to me and said, we've had a lot of feedback by singing Midnight Cry and we sang Sweet Fuel in last week. You know, one thing that was not said about those songs? I talked to Rick a couple months back. I knew his sermon. Russell's given me the list of who's coming when. And a few times I actually told the people when their sermons were. And in David, we actually found it was a Sunday you were going to be here. So it turned out we swapped Sunday. So Russell asked me not to. It's going to make it a surprise. I'm good. But Rick, Lavender Rick, the other Rick, I don't know if you guys have the nickname for it. And guess what? He said, I don't know, Midnight Cry or Sweet Beulah Land, those are my favorites. Guess what? We sang both. Because I love those songs too. You love to sing the songs you know. It's kind of hard to sing the songs you know. Hey, we had an invitation today that's a wonderful song. When I found this story, I was actually in my office yesterday kind of touching up on this, and I knew this, I found this a while back, and once I found the story, there's a gentleman named Jack Hinton. It's a short-term missionary trip to the island of Tobago. He was preaching, he was leading worship, so they sang hymns, and he goes, we've got time for one more. It was a leper colony. This lady turns around, it was the most, in his words, it was the most hideous face I'd ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. The disease had destroyed her lips. She lifted a fingerless hand in the air, and she said, can we please sing Count Your Blessings? Because that's my favorite song. Can you imagine losing? You know, nobody wants to see. She was so embarrassed by how she looked, she faced the other way during worship time. Again, guess what she is? She's a child of God. She was created in the image of God. Oh, God, disfigurement. No way. Guess what? Yeah. Because her heart spoke through her image and said, count your blessings, name them one by one. Overcome with emotion, he sang the song and then he left the service. He was followed by another team member who said, Jack, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again. He said, oh, yeah, I'll sing the song again, but I'll never sing it the same way. So I just really felt led to change your invitation this morning. Now I'm going to ask Brother David to come and our praise team to come back up. As they're making their way up, I want to challenge you all that if you need to come forward, the altar's open for prayer. I encourage you to sing. I encourage you to stay positive in the faith. We're going to sing a couple verses of Count Your Blessings, and then we'll dismiss this morning. Thank you all for your attendance, and I really appreciate your time this morning.